Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh my God, he's gonna eat ponies.
Oh, so he or she is going up and down the East Coast. Yeah. Right. Going to eat the ponies?
Camping out. I mean, wouldn't you? Look, there's a free
ponies in the water.
Let's not just
dinner.
Gloss over this. A 16-foot great white in Chincoteague or Assateague is something that recently as 10 years ago would have been like
fiction.
Yeah,
but how far out? It's not like it was cruising along the shoreline, right?
How do we
know? It was a nippy.
How close?
A couple miles would be
close. It does not say how close.
Won't keep me out of the water.
Within 2 miles.
No, it had a, it held up a sign that said, send me to Amity.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, live. We're live. You're live, so we may as well be live. Not even plausibly live anymore. Live from Chatter, and that sign is on its way because they're taking down the old signs today. The new sign is on its way. Live from Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block and a half inside the line of the capital of the United States of America. We're on the air with Gary Braun and Chris Saliza and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel's going to run the board and do news later in the show. Ann Hornaday will be with us. David Aldridge will be with us. We're open for breakfast. There are people here all the way from Arkansas, which is really nice. They get prizes for coming the longest distance.
Tell your mom.
Yeah, I'm going to send you back to Arkansas.
Do they have those Razorback hats that you wear at the game with the pig on it? You have those?
Yeah, I've seen those.
You've seen those? It's like a big pig.
Yeah. They're going to make you wear it later. They're going to take all your clothes off except for the hat.
That would assume I have clothes on.
Yeah, we have no Friday show as Tony takes off Monday and Friday this week. So there's no Friday show. So if you're hearing this today, you've missed the opportunity to have breakfast today. And you can come in Friday on your own, but we'll be back live doing a show on Monday. A couple of things to clear up here. First of all, some mail left for me. Bill Knack here, stop by to see if you were here. Let's get together soon. Bill Knack, who, and I told you the story of introducing Knack when he got the Lifetime Achievement Award for sports writing. I have a note here from Dan Donegan, retired captain in the United States Navy, having lunch here at Chatter to mark the end of my 25-year Navy career. Want to say thanks for many years of enjoying you on TV, radio, and podcast. And so that's very, very nice. So as they made some long commutes between Norfolk and Annapolis, he was the captain of a destroyer.
Cool.
Home based in Norfolk. That's really good.
I am the captain now.
He says, P.S., good. How are you on the Bay Bridge? Hope this card is okay. And steak quesadilla was superb, so I'm happy for that. And we also have fabulous gifts here. So the socialite calls me last night because he's upset. The socialite is upset because he is in here last night, and Chris Morrow comes up to him. And Chris Morrow has gifts for me, including Pro V's, and an Olympic Field shirt. This makes the socialite very, very angry. Mm-hmm. He writes, Dear Mr. Tony, I'm in town to play golf and, of course, wanted to visit the podcast public location. I've had a chance to dine with Wilbon, because they member of the same club, and play around with him as well. I'm sure he forgot to bring you a shirt. Of course he did. He stole the shirt. So there's a shirt for you along with some golf balls and ball markers for you and Michael. Anytime you'd like to be in Chicago, Olympia Fields is a very special place, and that's from Chris Morrow.
Nice.
That's very, very nice. And coming in here today, walking in here today, I am stopped on the street by a kid who's running, and he reaches out his hand, he goes, La Cheeserie.
Oh.
And he says, and I say, that's great, enjoy your run, and he says to me the following, he says, I'm David Brooks' kid.
Oh.
And I said, well, your dad's a great writer. He's an op-ed columnist for the New York Times. Right, Chris?
Absolutely.
I said, your dad's a great writer.
I've heard of him.
And he says, I don't know. Dad thinks you trashed him a couple of times on radio.
Huh.
And I said, why would I do that? I mean, I think he's a great writer. I just don't know that I would do that. And I said, in any case, if I did, tell him I'm sorry and tell him he's welcome to come to the podcast. Because the kid said, could he be on the podcast? I said, sure, absolutely.
I think he's confusing a rant you had on Hubie Brooks a long time ago.
Who is Hubie Brooks?
No, that was Huey Lewis.
Oh, Huey Lewis.
Totally different.
Remember Hubie Brooks? Didn't Hubie Brooks play for the Mets, something like that?
Hubie Brooks?
Are you thinking of Hubie Brown?
No. Hubie Brown? Who is Hubie Brooks? I don't know
Mo Brooks, the congressman from Alabama.
I guess I got that wrong.
Wait, so you think he played for the Mets?
Hubie Brooks.
Meet the Mets.
Yeah.
What happened to the Mets mascot? He got fired.
They apologized. They apologized.
No, he's out.
He was just giving the TK salute.
Yeah, but he should be out.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I think he should be promoted and given a raise.
Yes. By the way, here's the thing that is 100% true. Nobody knows who this guy is or this woman is. Nobody knows because they're not allowed to speak.
Right.
They can say they fired this boy or girl, and he or she could be back this afternoon because you don't know.
Yeah. That's a great point.
You don't know who it
is. Come back as Mrs. Matt.
It's an Ollie situation.
I'm going to start with something I don't usually start with, which is hockey, just to say I believe I had that. Yesterday on the PTI show, we had a question. We had an odds makers question. And we were asked, what are the odds that the Nashville Predators bounce back and win game two? And Wilbon declaratively goes 100%. This is 100% and says that Pekka Rinne had never lost two games in a row in the playoffs this year, which is true. Now, I've told you this before, why Wilbon likes the Nashville Predators. There's one and only one reason. He doesn't know anybody on the team. Well, he knows Subban now. He knows Rinne now. But he didn't know anybody a month ago. It's because they beat the Blackhawks. So anybody who beats the Blackhawks becomes Wilbon's favorite team because that – if they win the Stanley Cup or the NBA, whatever they win, if they've beaten a Chicago team, that justifies the claim that the second best team in the league is the Chicago team.
Got it.
That they got jobbed, and that's why they lost.
It's like so Wilbon, spike logic.
So Wilbon goes 100% on this, and I say, I'm not going any higher than 40. Pittsburgh is better. They're the number two overall team in the NHL against the number 16 and last overall team in the playoffs. They lost a game that they should have won. Their goalie gave up 4 goals on just 12 shots, the lowest amount of shots ever in the playoffs to get that many goals. And Pekka Rinne was terrible and never beats Pittsburgh.
He actually gave up 4 goals on 11 shots.
Yeah. Never beats Pittsburgh, okay? So what happened last night? He didn't beat Pittsburgh. They pulled him in the middle of the second period. They went up 1-0. They lost the game ultimately 4-1, and I had this. I had this, and that's why I'm crowing.
Good job.
Boom.
Just
write it down for me.
I am developing quite the hatred for young Jake Guentzel, who's just smashing the rookie dude from the Penguins, who's just smashing the records in terms of like most goals.
Isn't he good?
Did you watch the game?
No.
I watched 14 minutes.
Dark TV screen.
No, I watched.
You know what, Chris?
I will watch
playoff hockey.
Really?
Don't
involve the Caps?
You think Pittsburgh is very fortunate that their number one goalie got healthy at the right time because Marc-Andre Fleury had just about ended the run, but how fortunate they were to have Fleury, a veteran guy like that. I'm not saying this is over.
Fortunate. I mean, someone's putting the roster together, and they say, you know what? Maybe it's worth having
GM.
I'm
not going to say the series is over because you wait to see what happens in Nashville.
Well, when you go to Nashville.
Because I know you guys were talking about it yesterday. You saw that they dropped criminal charges against the catfish thrower.
They should have.
They had to.
They called the catfish itself an instrument of crime. And they said he was disturbing a meeting.
Disturbing a meeting.
It's amazing.
Hear ye.
It is out of like Puritan
it
times.
It totally is, yeah.
All right, so yeah, those statutes have to be on the books for 300 years. I mean, they're just totally crazy. My feeling is if you go all the way across the country with a dead catfish in your pants, it's fine.
Yeah, you should do it.
Spraying cologne on yourself as you go.
Armadillos in our trousers.
Yeah, you know. That's right. That's right out of Spinal Tap, isn't it? Right out of Spinal Tap. Let's get to the big story of the day. And that is the Tiger Dash Cam video.
Oh, God.
And if you haven't seen this, I recommend that you see it. And your overwhelming reaction when you're done is how sad it is. But your first reaction is not that. Your first reaction is he is wasted.
Oh, my God.
He is wasted. This is if you think, and I think a lot of people will think this, if you think that the mugshot is terrible, and it is, you forget the mugshot 10 seconds into this. It should be said, by the way, Tiger Woods, not at all antagonistic, not at all disrespectful.
No, do you know who I am? And kudos to the police.
The police, not at all disrespectful, not at all antagonistic, none of that. There's no baiting. There's none of that. It's exactly what you hope it would be from both ends of this. And I think that Tiger, in a public statement afterwards, commended the police on how they treated him.
He
should be commended. But right from the start, they say, where are you going? They get him out of the car. You don't see him extricated from the car. But you see him standing up. He's wearing a pair of shorts, wearing a long-sleeve T-shirt.
Standing up unsteadily.
Looks jacked.
Oh, yes. He looks ripped.
Looks great.
He's never been healthier. He's lifting those weights,
He looks great. Okay, so now the first question is this. It's a combination. Where are you coming from, sir? Where are you going? He says, where are you coming from? I'm coming from L.A. Where are you going? To Orange County.
Yep. Well, that's, nailed it.
That's one for one. Yeah, so,
he was in Jupiter, Florida, for those of you that weren't familiar.
Have a good night.
I mean, in a universal sense, we're all driving from California.
At one point, they say to him,
at that point, the cops should be like, okay, well, this is all going to be perfunctory from this point forward. But, I need you to try to say the
other. What planet would you say you're on right now?
And they know the end of this. Of course, they want to go through the motions. And they should go through the motions.
They have
Give the guy a chance.
Yes.
By the way, he takes a breathalyzer test. There is no alcohol. This is drugs. This is the combination of drugs, which I think I saw this on the Today Show yesterday, that they are up to 47% of accidents driving while impaired are now drug-related and not alcohol-related. That's so that's a wash at this point. That is scarier than you would have ever thought. Yeah. All right, for all of you people who think, let's make everything legal today and then, you know, get in our little minis and drive around, well, 47% of all accidents now in impairment have to do with drugs. So one of the things they say to him is they want him to recite the alphabet, and they're very clear about reciting the alphabet, and they say, we don't want you to sing it. We don't want you to sing the alphabet. Do you understand what we have said? And he says, you don't want me to sing the national anthem.
Whoops.
And so at
two for two.
You know, at that point, and you look at this, and again, by the end of it, it's a turn away. And you go, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's
terrible.
It is hard to watch.
It's terrible, but he's gone. He's gone.
I mean, if you've ever had any of those painkillers, and I guess Vicodin is the one painkiller. There were reportedly four drugs.
By the way, they redacted all the drugs he was taking on the video. They take them out. But we know from his own printed words that one of them is Vicodin. One of them is Vyax, one Vicodin. Vicodin seemed to be the only painkiller.
Right. And Vicodin can mess you up.
Yes, it can.
I mean, I'm a 210-pound man, and one Vicodin, and let me also say
this. And by the way,
this.
if he can't sleep and he wants to sleep and he takes Ambien, one of the results of Ambien sometimes is you just continue your normal life and you're totally drowsy, and he might, because he said at some point, they said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I like to drive. Yeah.
Now I'm sort of confused. I mean, it's so sad, and no one should be behind the wheel in that condition. Obviously, it makes me wonder who he was with prior or where he was with.
We don't know.
Who knows? Maybe he was coming from his home. Who knows what was going on? But I will say, as someone who is a sufferer of a back injury, I had about 5 years of back pain that culminated in a ruptured disc and back surgery. That pain, if you have ever experienced nerve pain, you understand.
You'll take anything.
You'll do anything
to make it not hurt.
And,
that's right.
Yep. And I'm not in any way, I mean, I guess what I'm doing, if anything, is I'm just sort of saying, I understand how a guy in his condition.
You're not condoning, you're explaining.
Right. I understand how a guy in his condition could develop a dependency, if in fact that's what's going on. Who even knows that? What I don't know,
I think it is reasonable to wonder about that, if there is a dependency, particularly in light of what was said within the week when he said it is so wonderful to be pain-free, and you wonder, is that naturally pain-free or chemically pain-free? And we have all, as you're saying, we've all had pain that would compel us to take
the
drugs.
Thing that I struggle with is that level of impairment, it seems like it would be hard to attain while taking something as prescribed. You know, it just sort of had the feel of...
But what if he popped three or four at the same time?
Well, that's not taking them as prescribed, or it's taking them recreationally. But
well, I wouldn't go as far as recreationally as much as I would go... This has worked for me in the past, and I want this now.
Yes.
Golf question that I asked Michael briefly off air, but I want to hear more about. Doesn't he say at some point in there that he's coming from or going to, or he was at Medalist? What is that?
I don't know if he said Medalist is a club.
Medalist is a club. It's probably 15, 20 miles north of where he lives.
Is it his, like, home club?
No. It's not, excuse me, it's not his club, it's where he plays.
Plays a lot.
Oh, it's where he plays, okay.
And by the way, when Tony and Michael say club, kids, they don't mean a rave. Yeah. Amina.
Yeah.
Country right. Club.
I mean, yeah. I figured that's what it was. I just, you guys know.
Well,
every
that's like, the elite. One where they well, had maybe that there tournament. Was a rave there that night.
Looked like he was coming from a club club.
Yeah. What's the one where they have that tournament with like eight different people in four different clubs and they play that down there and I thought they played it at his and I'm just blanking on the name.
Oh, you're thinking of the old Tavistock Cup
yes.
that they do in Orlando.
Yes.
Like Lake Nona.
And isn't that his club, Lake Nona?
Right, but that's he moved.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
So
what are your thoughts? Because you grew up thinking that the Tiger got you into golf. You adore Tiger.
I find this incredibly sad. Yeah. In full disclosure, I did not watch the dash cam video. Oh. I do not plan to watch the dash cam video. What worries me is that there is a trend towards this happening in our society, and I worry about how many times this is happening around the country, and nothing bad happens from it yet. I worry about all the people who are able to get into that car or go down to their kitchen, boil a pot of, a pot of coffee, whatever you want to do. And it's something that only becomes this story if there is, the fatal accident. And I wonder how many
Let's
other
hope
times.
We don't get to that.
Yeah. How many other times has Tiger actually gone for a drive and he's out and about from 2 or 4 a.m., not necessarily fully aware of what he's doing, not purposely trying to do this? I worry about how many times he might be taking something as prescribed and maybe a day out on the boat changes the way that your body's mechanics are going to respond to that drug. So I'm happy it stopped where it did.
To Michael's point, I thought of this too when I watched the dash cam video, which again is much more compelling and sad than the mugshot.
Yes.
It's terrifying that at some point not too distant from when he is arrested, he is propelling a car in that state. I mean, he is. If you watch it, right. I mean, he is. He looks as though he has just been concussed or something. I mean, he is in a heavily impaired mental state, and he's driving a car, presumably faster than 5 miles an hour. You drive 30 miles an hour, you run into something or someone, you can kill them.
Yep.
Well, and you also see you look at what's going on with our young children right now, high school, college age kids. And there is the trend where they're moving away from, having a couple beers with their friends. And they're growing up in a culture where they go into mom or dad's closet and they pull out a couple pills.
Yep. Kids don't drink anymore used to.
They think it's an easier high or something easier to control. And you don't know how it's going to respond in your body.
Yep.
And that, to me, this is just going to be even more on the rise, even though we know all the dangers of the opioid addictions and everything here, but
this is what I
did. And a huge, huge problem. One of the things that in the political campaign, which shows you how insulated Washington and the Beltway is, one of the major issues, particularly in the Northeast and the Midwest, where there are a lot of swing states, is opioid addiction. New Hampshire, Iowa. I mean, it was a huge, massive problem that I maybe because of our age. And where we live, and the fact that I have young kids where it's not relevant, and Gary's kids are still young, it's a huge issue. You hear stories at every campaign event. Right. Someone would get up and tell a story about it, and it is heartbreaking.
This is why that all of the prescriptions I have for Xanax, I took the Xanax out knowing that Michael would steal them, and I put blood pressure medicine.
I got them earlier.
Blood pressure medicine.
There you
so
go.
That's
called planning.
Yeah, I was a smart guy. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have Anne Hornaday. She will discuss, among other things, Wonder Woman. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks read. By the way, somebody, and I don't know who it is, one of the Littles sent us a couple of boxes of Omaha Steaks, and Gary had some the other day, and we'll split them up today. Matt Kelleher said to me, I listened on the show, I thought it was a great deal, I sent away.
How about that?
And I said, did you use the code? And he said, yes, I used the code. And I said, good, because you get a discount as a result of that. Dads love steak. You're trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day? Does your dad love to grill but hates the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store? So we have the perfect Father's Day gift. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get my limited time. It's not really mine. It says the copy says that it's yours. You can get limited time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter Tony K in the search bar to apply the savings. And that is what Kelleher did. Let me tell you what you get here. You get two. Right now, I should read this. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to my listeners for Father's Day. This is an amazing deal. You're getting 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes, here we go, two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks. Our friends from Arkansas, they are salivating at chicken fried steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, which I made the other day. Michael and I liked them, didn't we, Michael?
They were great.
Four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and four additional burgers free. Again, get this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. You type Tony K in the search bar, and you add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer ends soon. Well, obviously, after Father's Day, it's going away. Go to omahasteaks.com. That's O-M-A-H. If you don't know it, just call Peyton Manning.
Just call Omaha. Omaha.
Yeah. OmahaSteaks.com. Type in Tony K in the search bar. Grab your dad. Fire up the grill, but don't put your dad's head in the grill.
And many thanks to Randall Hallett.
That's
who Randall. Thank you.
Randall Hallett. Oh, yeah. Great. He's Randall. The one who Good got job, it for Michael. Us, which is very, very nice.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Andrew Giordano, who writes, longtime listener from New Jersey. Here's my band Ruby Roses, an indie rock band with a pop mentality. Here's our song Shipwrecked from our debut album Some New Paradise. Hope you enjoy. This is young. I like this.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, at my age, anything that sounds young makes me feel pretty good. Young to me is 60, so yeah, that's pretty scary. Ann Hornaday joins us now, and right in front of me as I sit here, for those of you watching on satellite television or whoever else broadcasts us, I am holding in my hand a book called Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies by Ann Hornaday. So it's out. You're out. And you have, what do you have here? You have praise from Bob Burney. I don't know who he is. Mark Roll. I don't know who he is. Albert Berger. And Eric Cohen. Wait, why is there no praise from Dr. Tony Kornheiser?
Exactly.
You know, why would you not say, could you blurb the book? Because I would have blurbed it, and I would have used the Dan Jenkins line, Jesus wept. I would have used that.
Maybe we can do that for the paperback. You know what? I didn't want to presume. I didn't want to. I get really weird about asking friends, and you know me. I'm just this shrinking violet over here. I don't know. I went to the film. Those are all wonderful film people.
And I will say, Mark
Ball is an Oscar-winning screenwriter. He won for The Hurt Locker.
Really? I'm a doctor. Yes. I'm a doctor.
I know. Yeah. I know you are.
And you talk on television, more importantly.
Yes.
I will say, Ann, thank you for letting me write the foreword. That meant a lot to me. Let me do that. Thank you very much.
And I was touched that you asked, Ann. I'm sorry I was unavailable. But
So the book is out. The hardback book is out. Talking Pictures.
Available. Yeah, I think if you order it on Amazon, I mean, it'll be out, physically out, in a couple on June 13 in stores. But I guess it's on. Ooh, I guess it's happening, isn't it? It's real.
All right, let's talk about movies. The big movie of the week. There's two movies Ann is going to review, but the big movie of the week is Wonder Woman, which is yet another sort of comic book, and it was a television series. Linda Carter, right? Who
That's
lives
right.
in Washington yes. for right. 100 years. Linda Carter was in the television series. How is Wonder Woman?
I really liked it.
Really?
I have to tell you, yes, and as we've discussed, I'm on the brink of exhaustion with this particular genre.
Yeah.
I feel that it has, you know, I just don't see how much further it has to go. I personally still feel that way. But however, I really, this movie, I just found it to be incredibly engaging. I thought it was beautiful to look at. The lead actress, Gal Gadot, I don't know how you pronounce her last name, Gadot?
I don't know, I've never heard of her.
An Israeli actress who plays, she is just fascinating. I mean, she's just she's a very dynamic, beautiful, enigmatic presence on screen. And so you can watch her forever, you know, because there's just a lot going on with her, and it has a lot of energy. It has a lot of imagination. I think one of the things that it has that the, you know, I was very hard on the Superman and Batman movie last week, and Suicide Squad, which emanate from the same DC Comics universe. And I think what this has that they didn't is really a very, very rich visual sense. I mean, the director, Patty Jenkins, she just takes a lot of care with the way it's filmed and the production design. So it's actually a lot of fun. It's just very gratifying and rich texturally to watch. So I thought it was just a nifty movie.
Okay, so now I have a few questions, and they're all of the same theme, but okay. there are a few slightly different questions. The ads that I have seen for this movie are very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
Can you explain what the purpose might be behind the aggression of the Wonder Woman character?
Well, my first assumption, not being in on the marketing meetings, would be that since it's a female character, and to the degree that people are aware that it's a female director, I mean, I know a lot of it has been made of that. I don't think it should be necessarily, but to the degree that people might feel affected by that, they might be trying to reassure boys and men that this is going to be just as macho and aggressive as the guy stuff, you know.
So I bring this up apropos of a comment that I heard Hillary Clinton make today. Uh-huh. Hillary Clinton, in seeking people to blame for what happened in the campaign, said, you know, other candidates, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, they can exhort a crowd, they can yell to a crowd, they can
That's
do
true.
All those things, and it looks bad when a woman does that. And I bring this up just because this is Wonder Woman. This doesn't happen all that much. Many of the women superheroes are sort of side pieces to men superheroes. Uh-huh. She stands alone, and I wondered, do all superheroes have to be so overpowering? Is there no subtlety in these sorts of things? And would not recast it, but do you think that there's any way that if there was subtlety in these sorts of characters, it would be a better movie?
Of course. I mean, and I think, again, that I think that's
the end
Avengers
of my
franchise.
Smartness for the day. I'm not going to be that smart anymore, but go ahead.
No, I think that is true, and like that's why I feel like something like a Hulk character, the Mark Bannon character, has those shades, and then when you have an actor like Mark Ruffalo, really getting those shades and you know bringing those out, then you do get subtlety of character, and I just think that's so key, and I actually think she does have that.
Okay.
This character does. I mean,
because you don't see it in the ads.
But then people want. I mean, these are myths. These are potency myths.
Okay.
I mean, that's what they really are about, and they're about action. They're about swashbuckling, and they're kind of an offshoot of those old pirate, you know, swashbuckling movies. So you need to have some. You know, I don't think you want to erase it completely because that's the vicarious escapist thrill, and there is an opening, but. In an early sequence in this movie, there's a battle scene, an all-female army dealing with some invaders that is absolutely thrilling, and it has all of those wonderful, vicarious, aggressive thrills. And so I don't think, you know, obviously you don't want to do away with it completely because that's the bottom line, but obviously it all does lie in the characterization, and that goes back to script, and that's the other thing that these movies need desperately are really, really good scripts because that's where you get that nuance
and those
layers.
Normally I wouldn't say this because normally I would just look at the Mad Max movies and I would say they're car chase movies most of the time. But I really thought that the one with Nicole Kidman and the women in the big truck at that point.
Oh, you mean Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Charlize Theron. Yeah, okay, right.
Yes.
Had great variety.
Agreed.
And subtlety. And so they made
that
the movie for me. And also, I would like to believe that if there's another Wonder Woman 2, that Wendy Rieger could play her mom. I would want that. I think that's good.
I like that.
You will also have a movie that I've never heard of called I, Norman Blake.
No.
What is that?
It's I, Daniel Blake.
Oh, Daniel Blake.
Did I type that wrong?
Yes. Nigel typed it to me as I, Norman Blake.
I thought it was I, Steve Blake.
I had
Steve Blake. I'm a point guard.
Yeah.
12 years in the NBA.
I want more explanation of his haircut.
Sorry about that.
Oh, goodness. Well, ironically, and, you know, like, classically, this is the movie that won the Palme d'Or at Cannes literally 1 year ago.
Okay.
And it's just now fetching up on our shores, which is... tells you all you need to know, kind of. But it's...
So it's good.
I don't know.
It must be good.
It's good. It's good. It's good. I don't think it deserved the Palme d'Or.
Okay.
It's by the British filmmaker Ken Loach, who a lot of people will know is the kind of... He's just the premier champion lefty social realist filmmaker in Britain, and who really does... He just does great, great work. He's done some beautiful historical pieces, like The Wind That Shakes the Barley, about the Irish... The early Irish Revolution.
Don't know that one.
And then he does these contemporary social commentaries on contemporary British life that are very impassioned. They're usually very didactic, as this one is. But it features just a terrific central performance by a guy playing a 59-year-old carpenter who's lost his job, wants to get work back, and is dealing with a bureaucracy that feels awfully familiar to our own. And, you know, I just think it's a slice of life that we don't often see on screen. And for people who know Ken Loach's name, they're gonna want to see it.
Okay, so this was the winner last year at Cannes.
Last year, correct.
You just got back from Cannes.
Yes, what was the mind still congested.
Yeah, what was the winner this year?
The winner this year was a movie called The Square by a Swedish filmmaker named Ruben Östlund, whose film from 2 years ago I raved about, and it was a movie called Force Majeure. And it was about a couple on a ski vacation with their kids.
It's like a landslide deal.
You love that movie. Yeah, you loved
it. That was an amazing movie. It got nominated for an Oscar. That was an amazing movie. And this guy is smart, and he has chops. This movie, The Square, is a kind of an art world satire.
Which is what we need right now.
Also, on a deeper level, like many movies this year at the festival, it really deals with social connection and alienation and our disconnection from one another. And I think that's what kind of makes it the most relevant and revelatory for people, you know, watching it. However, my one consistent observation on so many of the movies I saw this year was that they felt, like this one too, I feel like it needs tightening. Like everything felt a little long.
Right.
Like it had been a little rushed in order to make it into the festival. It could probably just use a little smoothing. I think in this case it needs smoothing more than shortening. But there's no question that there's a fascinating film there. I wouldn't have considered this one of the strongest years at Cannes.
I would love one time, by the way, if they were like, and the winner of the Cannes Palme d'Or, whatever the big prize is, Transformers 4.
Well, you know, frankly,
it's always like, this is a Swedish movie about an Israeli, you know.
Yeah. When is somebody going to make a movie about the agony of whether or not to join yet a third country club? Something realistic.
Right. Sorrow and the pity.
Well, but, you know, and to your point, after seeing Wonder Woman when I got back, I thought Wonder Woman would have been perfectly fine at Cannes this year.
Good.
That would have been because they almost always have a big, like, they haven't shown a Transformers film. They showed a Pirates of the Caribbean film there a few years ago.
That's
and
cool.
Wonder Woman is completely legit. You know, I mean, I don't know why they didn't show something like that just for fun, because that's part of movie going too, that they honor. And there were a couple of fun things, but mostly, you know, it was really a lot of angst. And I think I don't mind angst. What I mind is facile angst or cynical angst. And there were just too many easy, like, rich people suck. It's like, you know, I need a little bit more than that to help me with my life, you know. I need just a little more insight. But there were some wonderful, like the new Noah Baumbach movie, The Meyerowitz Story, with Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler, a wonderful performance from Adam Sandler and Dustin Hoffman. I really liked that
one. Squid and the Whale, worst movie ever made.
I know. Well, you know.
You must not have seen The Piano, Tony.
I've seen that. It's dreadful.
Stepmother is an alien.
So there were some good ones. And The Beguiled, which we'll be talking about in a couple of weeks with Sofia Coppola. So there were some bright spots. And I had my first virtual reality experience.
Oh, do you have to put on, like, the goggles and stuff?
Yes.
That's sort of weird. Yeah, that seems weird. Nigel,
but it was very moving. It was really intense. But I'll tell you something. I went in kicking and screaming. I was like, this is not for me. But it was very powerful.
I just want to point out, to circle back to Wonder Woman, the male lead in that is Chris Pine. I don't know if you guys talked about this. But you loved him from Hell or High Water.
I did.
You are so right. Thank you for saying that. And he is so good in this.
Yeah,
and
he's
Batman,
terrific.
He knows, and it's funny, he was really cute in Into the Woods. He played the prince. He played Prince Charming to Cinderella in Into the Woods. And it was really funny and kind of, he kind of took the Mickey out of it. And he does the same thing here as the guy in Jep. He just leans right into the comedy. He's just delightful. It's just a wonderful performance. Okay. This whole movie, Wonder Woman, has been beautifully cast. Danny Houston's in it, Robin Wright, Connie Nielsen, David Zulis. I mean, it's a really good cast, and that's another absolutely just, you know, essential factor with these things.
Thank you, Anne. We'll talk to you next week.
It's always a pleasure.
Anne Hornaday, and her book is called Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies. You can go out and buy this. You don't even have to go out and buy it anymore. You can sort of order everything. I'm rather behind the times, but I know that Michael just orders everything, and trucks pull up in front of his house every single day, dropping off virtually everything. We will take a break. We will have news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. Like if you want to go to Nashville, because Nashville's got games 3 and 4, SeatGeek gets you close to it. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And by the way, if you want Nashville tickets to the Predators and the Penguins, there's also live music in Nashville that you can get. So it's two birds with one stone. And catfish anytime you need it. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, that's SeatGeek, enter the promo code Tony today, that is promo code 20 for $20, promo code Tony. Wow, I can't read. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jake Trujillo. I'm a loyal little here in San Diego. This song is called Outrun by my band Spider and the Ant. We would greatly appreciate a play on the podcast. However, I must confess the rest of the guys hate sports. Seem to give me an ever more confused look whenever I say La Cheeserie, followed by what the blank does that mean? But if it airs, you get three more littles. This is lovely.
There you go.
Is it
Michael,
great?
Tell the people once again, because you can hear the full tunes at the end of the podcast. Tell the people how they send in their music.
It's pretty easy to do, actually. You can email the show at jingles@tonykornheiserhow.com. And for those wondering where they can find the names of the artists and the individual songs, that info is actually released every day underneath the info tag for the show.
That's good to know, because we could sell some product for those people, all of whom seem to be very good. Now, we are in the month of June now, officially, and Father's Day is 3 weeks away, and we're plugging the Johnny O stuff, which I am wearing today. I am wearing a Johnny O sweater and Johnny O shorts, which I like. What are those called?
These are the Mulligan golf shorts.
Mine are sort of gray. Do they come in a lot of different colors?
They come in every color you could ever imagine.
Could you stand up and do the walkway, the runway thing?
You know what? You want me to do Zoolander?
Just can't turn left.
Yeah. So tell the people what they do, because this is high quality stuff.
Now this is a tough one.
As Saliza can assess.
This is a new promo code. Stuff. So yeah. The old promo code got picked up by some discount websites.
Right.
And so you are now only able to use Dr. Tony.
Dr. Tony. Dr. period Tony.
Well, not period.
No period.
No period. Punctuated.
That might complicate it.
Oh, yeah. So Dr. Tony.
Six wide. Yeah.
Dr. Tony.
Dr.
Tony. And you get a great break on Johnny O stuff.
Yeah, you're getting 30% off.
And Johnny O stuff is good. So we're plugging that. That's
great Dad's Day gift.
Yeah. Yes, it
Although I'm easy. Typically for Father's Day, I just like neckties and like a bottle of Old Spice.
Okay.
That's what I ask for.
And you drink the Old Spice?
Typically, yeah.
I go with that.
What do you like? Speaking of neckties, our great thanks to Peter Jennings
yes.
of Dow Japan.
That's not right.
That because Peter Jennings. Not the other Peter Jennings. Because he sends us a lot of ties. And people who come here for breakfast, I reach into the prize closet and give people. So one guy says, I don't wear ties. And I just sort of shrug.
Hang
but
yourself
he
with
traded
it.
A tie for a shirt with someone else at another table.
Look
at
that. I felt good about there that. You go. The barter system.
Good about
Did
that.
You give away the syrup?
I have not given away syrup yet.
Okay, because we have a big bottle of syrup.
I have not given that
I have a big stack of signed 8.5x11 glossies of myself. For whatever reason, they haven't moved as fast as I thought.
How can you hang on to those?
I don't know. It's really
Gary,
weird.
Can you tell the Family Circus story with Jeff Keane?
The Cheeserie was mentioned in Family Circus yesterday. If you listen to the podcast, we talked about it. And I had an exchange on Twitter with Jeff Keane, who's, I guess, Family Circus was created by
his
father.
Bill Keane.
Bill, who passed away some years ago, and Jeff now pens it, and And yeah, I just
he
reached out to him.
He lives in California and yes. listens to the show.
Listen, sent a very nice note.
I guess you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sent a very nice note about listening to and enjoying the show and all the entertainment we've provided. And he's sending an original of the comic.
We'll put it up on the wall.
Of course we will.
If we ever get the corkboard on the wall.
Right. Yeah, and I told
him.
One
of the reasons for moving here was to decorate the studio. And how have we done? The cone is gone, but
I like the exposed brick. It gives it a nice.
With the La Cheesery sticker on it.
We do have a La Cheesery sticker. Yes. So, yeah, so that was very cool.
That is very
cool. And I told Jeff, he did the amazing. It's like my kids think the show's cool now because it was mentioned in Family
Circus.
Oh,
that's great. That's great. Okay, so Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off with a rather tough story, a sad story in a lot of ways. Police are investigating. A racial slur that was spray painted on the front gate of LeBron James' home.
The N-word spray painted on the gate of his home in Los Angeles. I did not know he had a home in Los Angeles.
Nor did I.
I was unaware of that.
His family was not there. I guess they'd spent part of the time there, part of the year there. His family was not there when this occurred. During the media day yesterday, James spoke out about this. It just shows that racism will always be a part of the world, part of America. Hate in America, especially for African Americans, is living every day. It's hidden most days. It's alive every single day. And he goes in to talk about Emmett Till's mom.
I was unaware of. Emmett Till was hung, right? I'm pretty
certain.
I think he was taken out of his car and beaten to death,
and dragged.
I believe.
And apparently his mom wanted an open casket funeral so everyone could see what had happened to, it would have been done to her son.
The way LeBron handled this is very, very impressive.
Absolutely.
He sat there and spoke somberly about it and just said, it shows you, and it's impossible to argue with this. It is impossible. I mean, Wilbon and I talk about this regularly, not often, but regularly. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how
admired
idolized you are. It doesn't matter. It's tough to be black in America. And that's what he said. He did not raise his voice. He did not. You looked at LeBron James, who has spent his entire life in the NBA and wanting to be in the NBA. And he is not, he did not go to college. You would say he's not formally educated. He has done, it seems to me, so much reading and so much to self-educate and has involved himself with so many different people. Very early on, at 18 or 19, he talked about wanting to be friends with Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett, they are indeed friends. And when LeBron speaks to issues, and he doesn't do it all the time, but when he does, I have always come away thinking, you know what? He's right. He's right. Do you have that sense about LeBron?
Yes.
And by the way, he's the best basketball player in the world.
From a young age, he's been... Now, I always think you look at people, whether it's sports or anything else, who have been famous essentially their whole life or a large part of their life. Alex Rodriguez.
Since he's 14.
Right. I mean, LeBron has been famous since he had some concept of what fame is, essentially.
Right.
To handle yourself as well as
he does
is really remarkable. Like, and not that A-Rod, just as an example, has handled himself that poorly, but LeBron does pick his spots to speak out on social issues in a way that, for example, Michael Jordan never did.
And Michael Jordan has the right not to.
Absolutely.
We all have the right not
Agreed.
To, but LeBron
but
puts himself out there.
And when you put yourself out there like that, you certainly subject yourself, if it's not well thought out, you subject yourself to a lot, and he really hasn't.
I think LeBron grows in people's estimations every single time he does something like this.
I share your reaction. I thought
he did it with
it
Trayvon Martin
completely expertly.
Yes,
it was very impressive.
Yes,
By the way, the home, I did a little research, and a 9,350 square foot home in Brentwood. It's actually, modest as LA mansions go. You want to take a stab at what 9,300 square feet in Brentwood's going to run?
$10 million.
14.5.
Close. That would buy you half of it. $21 million in 2015.
Well,
Is his Akron house?
He has a lot of money.
Probably around the same.
By the way, and to sort of underscore the point that LeBron was making, there's a small story in the paper today about a noose being found in the African American Museum.
And apparently that was the second incident within a week or so.
This is pervasive.
It's terrible.
This is pervasive. What else do we have?
We'll go to San Francisco where the Nats closed out their series with the Giants. Max Scherzer, a complete game, beating the Giants 3-1, struck out 11 in a five-hitter.
Should have had a shutout,
Yes.
Right? A ball drops. I saw this morning. A ball drops between Michael A. Taylor and Jason Wirth. And I know you're going to say that a center fielder gets all the balls that he can get, but it's appeared that Jason Wirth was on the ball.
It's
then just lost it in the lights, I guess.
I don't think he ever had it.
Okay.
I mean, I watched it live. I think he never really saw it, but Taylor doesn't sort of take command of the situation, and by that time it's too late.
Yeah.
I think Wirth should have caught it.
Yes, that was, so that leads to an unearned run, I'm assuming.
Or is that not an error? I looked in the box score this morning.
Can't be an error if no one touched it.
It said earned run, which I was stunned by because it's clearly an error.
But who are you going to assign it to? And they don't have such a thing as team errors in baseball. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is you cannot have an error.
So it becomes earned. He strikes at 11. He has gone 10 plus in strikeouts a billion times.
Yes.
He only threw 100 pitches. And this is
how about the strikes?
Okay, so let me. Yeah, this is the point I want to make. In the last couple of weeks or so, and he's their number one pitcher. Strasburg is the number two pitcher. You have seen from him and Strasburg and Tanner Roark as well, a preponderance of the ratio of strikes to balls is different than it has been in the past. And this has to be, Mike Maddux has to be working on this. Even Gio Gonzalez is getting more strikes than he does most of the time. Michael, that has to be a strategy, right? Just throw the first one in there and let's see what happens.
I would assume. I mean, it's a way to try and keep pitch counts
when you don't like your bullpen.
Stay out of your bullpen.
When you don't like your bullpen, stay out there as long as you can.
79 strikes and 100 pitches.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. He had the kind of stuff.
Well, Strasburg had that the other night.
He had the kind of stuff last night that is like his no-hitter stuff or like his 18, 19 strikeout. It wasn't as sort of impressive in the box score, but totally, totally dominant. Like
in
after
command.
Worth, yes. after they dropped that fly ball and he was, the thing I love about Scherzer, he's clearly pissed.
Yeah.
He immediately comes back and strikes the next guy out. I mean, he's so awesome.
He was stalking the mound early.
Oh, yeah.
It also helps when you walk out first inning and you have a 3-0 lead.
Ryan Zimmerman hits one out. He continues. We're into June. Ryan Zimmerman continues to be a great hitter, which he was not last year or the year before. And as a side note, Bryce Harper sat that game out and will sit out, I guess, two of the three against Oakland and be ready for the Dodgers, who look to be competition now for the Nats. And his suspension was reduced from 4 games to 3 games. And again, my feeling is always the same. You can give him as many games as you want as long as you give Hunter Strickland
five times as many.
Because he did that. Just him. Not on orders from anybody on the team. He bore a grudge for 3 years because Bryce Harper's a better player than he is and drilled him. And his didn't go up. He still got 6. Joe Torre, out of touch on
that.
Did
he appeal? I haven't seen anything.
They both appealed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they both appealed.
This hasn't been heard yet.
All right, what else?
Staying with baseball, Albert Pujols, one home run shy of 600. Did not get it last night. Went 1-for-4 with a strikeout. Couple of groundouts and just a bloop single, which, by the way, now gives him 2,874 hits in his career, moving him past Babe Ruth. But not a huge crowd watching him do this. 10,000 below capacity at a home game.
Well, they don't because they're a terrible team and Trout isn't playing. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. Chris, what do you make of the fact that nobody seems to care that he's going to go to 600?
I think it's a lot born of... I remember when he signed the deal with the Angels.
Big money.
He was the best player in baseball.
He's got
at the time.
4 more years.
4 years left.
4 more years.
It was a huge deal, and he was the best player in baseball. I think at that point.
My God,
and
did you see his St. Louis numbers? They were Ruthian numbers.
It really was,
and that was
unbelievable.
He averaged 323, 40, and 121.
Wow,
that was his average year.
And I think the year after that, the first year with the Angels, he had a significantly down year, and it was clear that he was aging relatively quickly, and that his prime would not be sort of extended.
Yeah,
I was stunned. I heard this on something 2 days ago. Last year, he hit 31 home runs and had 119.
That's
RBIs.
A really
I
good
mean, that's
year.
A great.
It's a really good year.
And if you asked me, I'd have been like, "Nah, he's done for." It's remarkable how quickly you would think going from St. Louis to California would raise your profile.
No, since it's the Angels, it's not the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at his career numbers, and his average after 10 consecutive years of hitting over 300 or 299 in St. Louis, his worst year in St. Louis, he hit 299. That was his last year in St. Louis. Since Anaheim, 285, 258, 272, 244, 268, currently 254. Now, his home run numbers are still great. I mean, 30, he had 17 in 100 games, 28, 40, 31 last year. So he's, I mean, if he's got four more years and he plays him, he's obviously going to get 3,000 hits.
The
reason he also
nobody
could get 700.
Cares is steroids. Because in the top 10 of home runs, Barry Bonds is one, Alex Rodriguez Sosa. Is four, and Sosa is nine.
Yep.
And that's why nobody cares at this point. It tainted it for everybody, including Albert Pujols. What else?
Who, unlike all those other guys you mentioned, Pujols never hit 50 in a season.
No. How old is he? Sorry, just quickly.
I'm
is
gonna
he
go
in his mid-30s?
37. I'm going to say 37 with four to go.
Four to go.
Woo.
Does he get to 700 home runs?
I don't know.
I bet he does.
We'll have to see how it plays out.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't know.
50-50.
By the way, speaking of sparse crowds, I just want to throw this in. Marlins and the Phillies in Miami. Reported crowd of just 1,590 people.
More people watch the Dan Le Batard show live.
They should have a promotion where you pay a penny a person.
That's like a Georgetown game.
Yeah, it's just awful.
You know, Georgetown. You don't need to. Unnecessary kick.
And we all remember Ben Jacobs from just a short time ago.
Fantastic.
The guy from Reuters. The Guardian.
You broke my glasses.
Right, from Greg Gianforte.
You body slammed me.
Well, the museum has obtained those broken glasses.
Good pull.
And they hope
put them on display with the audio tape.
Oh, it has to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good pull.
So that was a good pull from them. And just a quick word about Scott Pelley out at CBS Evening News will return to 60 Minutes full time.
What do we make of that? What do we make of that? It's ratings. Katie Couric was out. She didn't get good ratings. They don't challenge NBC or ABC. They're third. Ratings, it's TV.
Yeah.
I assume that like our ratings at PTI, when they drop underneath the Mendoza line, I assume they say goodbye to us. Because, I mean, Scott Pelley's fine. Scott Pelley's good, right?
Yes.
Everybody likes Scott Pelley.
It's ratings driven. It came out of sort of nowhere.
Yes,
I mean,
it did.
He's like on assignment and called in and had his office cleared out.
Would you replace him locally? Would you replace him with someone from CBS? Because the political guy, John Dickerson, is very good.
I think they might go locally, Nora O'Donnell, who is currently in New York, but has ties here because of Chef Jeff's.
Right.
Sheena Parveen, maybe.
Well,
they could do worse.
But I think they may do that. But the danger there always is the morning shows are the ad and money makers for those networks,
and they're third.
But they are moving up at the moment.
CBS
they are on the rise with Gail King, Nora, and Charlie Rose. They feel as though they're onto something. So do you? Rob Peter to pay Paul. Do you take her off? I don't know that she could do both of those things for any extended period of time.
Well, that's interesting you would say that because this week so far for 2 days, Savannah Guthrie has done the nightly news.
I mean,
on
that's
NBC.
A
that's a long day. This is a long day. If you're doing the Today Show and you're the anchor, you've got to be, I think, awake by no later than 3:30.
I think she's up by about 3:30.
You just can't. And so then you're doing the nightly news at 7 o'clock at night. This is a long day.
And that's not like Letterman where you can tape it early,
this
right?
This is right. This is like my day.
Yes.
You know, but my day's easy. It's just long.
But it's fascinating. Look, I also think just quickly, I think it speaks to the fact that network, that evening newscast, which was once the flagship of every single one, every network, it's just you're not going to see a lot more sort of big stars in those roles because the model doesn't work to pay that person $25 million.
They still get many more eyeballs than cable.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even though cable has the stars.
I mean, not when I'm on it.
Well, certainly not when
you're on. Some cable networks.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. David Aldridge will join us.
Yes.
From California.
Yes. Hopefully you can wake him up.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. These are made-to-measure suits. Nigel, explain how it works, because you've got two of them. And you look good in them.
Thank you. I love those
good.
Suits.
I don't know. Good.
Relative.
I look better than I normally look, which is the bar is very low for me. Yeah. But yes, the suits are fantastic, and it's custom-tailored. So you can either go to a tailor, get measurements, send them off online to Indochino, send you a suit. It'll fit perfectly. You can do what I did, which is get a piece of rope and a yardstick, and it'll come out just the same.
Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top-quality fabrics, personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special occasion like coming here to watch this show. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men and are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings. So you can do this yourself. If you want to look like a bozo with real wide lapels, go ahead. Knock yourself out. They're going to let you do it. You submit your measurements. You place your order. You wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. And this week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit, any one of them, for $379 at Indochino.com when you enter Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. The shipping is free, by the way. That is Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony K for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. It is an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
50 years ago, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was released.
I read the news today.
In the area of critical commentary, it's just the greatest American rock album, greatest rock album of all time. And everybody's been chasing it ever since. The cover art is in itself iconic, as you went through to see, well, who are these people? Who's out there? And what does it all mean? Nigel has a fantastic story about how it came to be named Sgt. Pepper.
Yes, Paul McCartney was recently interviewed, and we'd all sort of heard the story that he was flying back from America and had this concept of like of a theme album that they wanted to do, but he, you know, hadn't really crystallized. And he was flying back with the longtime roadie for the group, Mal Evans, this gigantic guy, Mal. And Mal said, "Pass me the salt and pepper," but he mumbled it, so it was like, "Salt and pepper." And then McCartney said, "Wait, did you say Sgt. Pepper?" He said, "No, salt and pepper." And McCartney said, "Well, Sgt. Pepper, that's something right there." And that's where
amazing.
That's where it came from.
It's amazing.
Mal Evans, by the way, also is part of the production of that. There's a period where you can hear somebody counting, one, two, and that's Mal Evans. So he's part
so
of
weird.
Day in the Life.
That, by the way, that's A Day in the Life is the genius.
Yes, it is.
David Aldridge, who I think we have awakened in California. David, when I did Monday Night Football, I tried very hard to stay on East Coast time. It just worked better for me. Do you do that, or you go from time zone to time zone?
Depends on how long I'm.
Sounds like time zone to time zone.
Are we on some sort of tape delay?
Either that or he's doing his Tiger Woods impression.
Okay.
Depends on how long I'm in a particular town, Tony. If it's just a one day trip, then no, I stay on East Coast time. But if you're out here for several days, it's kind of hard to stay in. You know, 3 hours later because your body is just rebels and you get sick and everything. So
yeah, because Wilbon said you were going to have dinner with him last night, and I thought if you were staying on East Coast time, that was going to be disastrous. Because Wilbon,
yeah, no, I think we're gonna have dinner on the over the weekend, sometime Saturday, I think.
Okay, the finals finally start tonight. It is an unbelievably long break for whatever reason. Are players concerned about the length of time between actual games?
Nobody has mentioned it, Tony. I mean, okay. I think everybody understands that, you know, for reasons of commerce, of course, but also for reasons of getting these players enough rest so that they're ready to play at their best and to let any injuries that may or may not still be relevant heal. They need a few days off, and I think I actually think it's good in this particular instance. You know, you know, it's a long season. It's a really long season. And, you know, they were having instances where teams were playing, you know, game seven on a Monday and the final start on Thursday. And that's a tough turnaround. And I think this way, to give everybody some breathing room, I think is good. I mean, I think it's good to kind of let everybody recharge, refocus, and really kind of hone in on their assignment. I mean, we did the Eastern Finals, and LeBron was very honest afterwards when we started asking about the finals. He was like, "Look, I can't even think about Golden State right now. You know, we just expended all this mental energy beating Boston, and so I need a couple days to kind of decompress, and I think it helps."
There's a drumbeat for this. I'm sucked into it myself. I want to see this series. Some people will compare it to Ali Frazier in the fact that it is the third time. Is that... Mm-hmm. Is that going too far, do you think? I mean, or is this something where you say to yourself, "I cover this league and I really want to see this"?
Well, there's very few things that really live up to the hype, right? So yeah. You're hoping this does, I think it will, but there's also the possibility that somebody could get their doors blown off. I mean, these are the two best teams in the league, and if one of them is playing at or near its maximum potential and the other one has any slippage for whatever reason, injuries or just not playing well, yeah, I mean, one of them could destroy the other one quickly. But I just don't see that happening. I just think there's too many good players between the two teams that I can't see all of the players on one team playing badly all at the same time, you know? So my guess is that won't happen, and if it doesn't happen, that team should win two or three games. And I just can't see. I know a lot of people are picking Golden State in five, and boy, I'm really not sure how you do that. As well as they've played, I mean, Cleveland's no slouch here. I mean, not like they limped into the finals. I mean, they're 12-1, and they just destroyed a Boston team that was admittedly not a great team, but was certainly a very good team that was playing very well.
I think the winner of this has a real chance, whether it's in 4, 5, 6, or 7. I think the winner of this has a real chance to be thought of as one of the all-time great teams. I really do. They've separated themselves from everybody else in the league, and the memory of what happened in the last three games last year, to me, indicates that the winner could be an all-time great team. Are you with that, or you think, no, that's not?
I think you can certainly make the case for it because they certainly have a foil in the other team, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if LeBron wins back-to-back titles over this team that everybody really thinks is a great team in Golden State, that is that's very special stuff. And certainly if Golden State comes back and takes the title back from LeBron, then they'll have two titles in 3 years, and they'll be set up to get three or four more probably with the team they've put together. So, yeah, I think you can make an argument for that because they have a foil. The problem with Chicago, as great as Jordan was, is he never really had a foil.
You're right.
That other team that really challenged him year in and year out, he had several teams that were really good, but nobody consistently really came at him once they started winning. So that's why I think this could be, that's why I think this does rise to the occasion of a really, really special series.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what elevated Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. I mean, that's what you had there. And now the addition of Kevin Durant to this thing, you look at this on paper and you say to yourself, and you don't know. You don't know what is more probable, close games or blowouts. You don't know because these two teams are capable of scoring. Certainly Golden State's capable of scoring 130, and I think Cleveland is too, don't you? I think they can.
Yeah, Cleveland's, you know, I think they're number two in everything, and they're number one in corner threes. And, I mean, they've got three guys that can each score 40. I mean, you know, they can each score 40.
So, yes.
Yeah, they're capable. They're more than capable, and the way they play – the way they have played in the playoffs, certainly they have turned it up a notch at the defensive end. They're much more active and better than they were in the regular season. So, yeah, and they don't. And with all the days in between and the long timeouts, they don't have to have a deep rotation. He can play seven or eight guys and be okay. You know what I mean? So they can all play heavy minutes. So, yeah, they're both very capable.
So I need to get into the Wilbon ranting lately, which is exhibited at 5:30 Eastern all the time. Wilbon ranting over the fact that LeBron is the underdog and screaming, how can LeBron be the underdog? So Wilbon, of course, has decided to make Cleveland a favorite. And why is that? Well, the context with Wilbon is always Michael Jordan. I mean, if you're going to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan was never the underdog. And on and on and on and on. Does any of this make sense to you? Because I just start screaming, you're an idiot. Stop.
Well, he was Jordan was the underdog in the first one. They were playing the Lakers. I mean, come on. The Lakers had won 5. So, yeah, Chicago was the underdog in the first finals they played in. But after that, I would agree with them.
Right.
I think they were the favorites on all the rest of them. But, I think you can shape an argument to fit your point of view on either of these teams as the favorite or the underdog, depending on what you're rooting for, I guess. So, I mean, Cleveland's the defending champion, so you can make the argument that defending champions should never be the underdog in anything because they're defending champions, right? So,
yeah, but the other team added Kevin Durant.
Right, and that's fair. And so, again, you can make the argument that Golden State should be the favorite because of that. Or you can say they're not the champs, so they have to be the underdog. So you can – look, that's the thing about these two teams is that you can create whatever reality you want around the team you think is going to win or the team you want to win, and you can't be proven wrong because they're both great teams. They're both – these are the two last champions in the league. So, I mean, you know, they're both set up because of the way Golden State's set up roster-wise, and because the East is just not – we've seen yet again that all of our hand-wringing about Cleveland in the regular season was stupid because once they get to the playoffs
– they kill people.
They just steamrolled everybody, you know. So they're clearly the two best teams in the league and will be for some time.
All right, so I will, of course, ask you who you think is going to win this. But before I get to that, I wonder about Steve Kerr. I saw that he did a sit-down with Tim Kawakami. And I saw that he said in that, when he was asked, will you coach again? He says, I plan on it. Absolutely. I want to do this.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And I don't think he should coach now, and I don't think he plans on coaching now. Mike Brown is going to coach. But I had these great – and I don't want to make it past tense. I have this great fear that he's never going to coach again, that his body's never going to allow him to do it. You've seen him now. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He was there yesterday, and he didn't do any media per se. He had talked on Monday, I think, and we got out here on Tuesday. And, you know, look, I like Steve. I worked with Steve for many years at TNT.
He's really good on TV.
And he's just such a good guy. And you're pulling for him because you like him and you're friendly with him. And you know, I don't know how he's going to feel in November or October, but he said he was feeling better. So I can only go by what he knows about his body, and he said he's feeling better. He looked to me like he still was kind of tired, you know, and it was a look of somebody that, as he has been doing for the last 2 years, has had pain in his life like every day for 2 years. You know, it wears on you. You know, and so I hope that what he's saying is accurate and that he can, you know, he feels better than he did 3 weeks ago, and maybe hopefully in a month he'll feel better than he does today, and he can get back to it. But it's a grind, Tony. It's, you know, the coaching is especially a grind, just mentally. And if he can't, I mean, his son also talked to Tim and said, you know, he could barely stand up at the end of the regular season. And that's scary stuff. So I hope he comes back. I hope, you know, having several months off in the summer will allow him to kind of hopefully find a treatment program that works. But I the answer is none of us know. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to feel like 3 months from now. And I just hope, because I like him and he's a friend of mine, that you know, he finds something that allows him not to be in pain anymore. And if that means he doesn't coach, well, you know, there's other things you can do. He's a smart guy, you know. So, it's hard to watch somebody that you like suffering.
Yeah, I'm not going to say these are the same things when I mention the name Chris Bosh, because they're not. Because Chris Bosh's life is in jeopardy, I think, if he goes back to play. But it has that ring to it. It has that ring that I know he wants to do it, but you look at him and you go, I don't know if it's going to happen. I just...
Yeah.
Right?
It is not the same, but you're right. It is similar, and you... With Bosh, because of the seriousness, you hear more people kind of saying out loud, look, I really don't want you to play anymore.
That's right.
I really
don't
hope
do
you
it.
Don't play anymore.
Don't do it.
You know, because it's literally not worth it for you to play. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about Bosh, and he said, you know, this guy could do a dozen different things. You know, I mean, he's a smart, funny, engaged guy.
Yes, and he's made a lot of money.
He could do it.
Yes.
If he wanted to be a GM, he could do that. I mean, he could do a lot of things. So, you know, playing, I get it. You want to play, but it's, come on, dude, you could die, okay? Yeah. I don't want that. Right. That shouldn't be – that could happen, and I hope that he doesn't play because of it.
All right, give us a winner.
Well, I pick Golden State in seven for one reason, only one reason, because I do think both of these teams are capable and will win a game on the road, at least one. So, and I, but I do think they're going to, you know, so I, again, I look at the series and I go, I can't see anybody winning in four, certainly, and I can't see anybody winning in five. And so if you, by definition, say the series is going six, that's in Cleveland. I just don't think Golden State is going to lose a second game seven at home. That's why I'm picking them in seven. Because if I think the series is going seven, that means game seven's in Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were real close to winning that game last year, and they had, Curry was playing, but he wasn't himself physically, and they didn't have Durant. And so I'm going, okay, Curry's healthy now, and they have Durant. I just can't see, if this team is as good as they've played the last 3 years, how could you lose two game sevens at home? You know, I can't fathom that. It's possible because that guy on the other team that to you.
Exactly.
He might just be that good. Yeah. You know, so, but it's hard for me to see a scenario where Golden State loses twice in game seven at home for the championship. So that's why I'm picking them.
All right, enjoy yourself, and we'll see you when you get back.
Okay, Tom, thanks.
Thank you, David. David Aldridge, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with emails and jingles and all the things that we do. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. It's fantastic. They write a line that says, please make the read sound natural and genuine using your own words, tone, and voice where possible.
I think reading that sentence goes a long way towards achieving the goal.
We had talked about you doing it in a different voice.
At least they know it hasn't been natural to this point.
This is the Harry's read. See?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a James Earl Jones. Yeah. You know?
So this is the Harry's read.
Everybody has Harry's. Everybody here has this. Everybody uses it. This is
last night, in fact.
If we don't use it, I mean, get out of here.
Right. We endorse this. Father's Day is just around the corner. Dads are impossible to shop for. Fortunately, our friends over at Harry's have a special offer that you're going to love, and your dad will too. You get $5 off one of their shave sets, including a limited edition Father's Day set at harrys.com, and you write in Tony K. All right? It's about a great shave at a fair price. There are five German-crafted blades, flex hinge, lubricating strip, 100% quality guarantee, full refund if you're not happy, $2 a blade or less, which is half the price of the leading five-blade razor brand. The shave sets start at just $15, not to mention $5 off when you go to harrys.com and you write in Tony K. So you get a razor handle, a moisturizing shave gel, and three of Harry's five-blade precision-engineered razors. Harry's limited edition Father's Day shave set comes with a storm gray razor handle, the color of Washington, D.C. from much of the last 3 weeks. But not today, I'm happy to say.
It's beautiful today.
Chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, three replacement blades, and a travel cover. Plus, it comes in a sleek, giftable box. Now, remember yesterday when I said I wasn't sure of the word giftable? I didn't know if there was such a word. I was willing to accept there was such a word. Well, Willie Schatz, who went to Hewlett High School and Harper College with me.
He did what?
And he was in many English classes with me. Said he went to the dictionary, did not find the word giftable, and then named a bunch of teachers that we had who would not have used that. So I'm reading
it. It's not pronounced gift table?
Gift table. No, because it looks one word. Sounds,
well,
like one.
I mean,
there's only one T in it.
And?
Online dictionaries include it.
Why we don't use count? Online dictionaries.
Right.
Merriam-Webster or Merriam-Webster, whatever. With the option to add custom engraving. Oh, and a personalized OED. Card for free.
How about that?
So you can engrave the razor for your dad or for yourself or for somebody else.
Dr. Tony engraved.
And get a personalized card for free. Go to harrys.com, Tony K, right now to redeem a special offer for fans of this particular high-quality podcast. Harry's will give you $5 off one of their shave sets. It's for a limited time only, so act now. That is Harry's, harrys.com/Tony K, to get $5 off. And this is where they got me. Help support the show.
There you go.
You know, that's such a small little puppy thing to do, isn't it?
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
A doctor ripped from Binghamton.
At my age, I don't usually learn anything anymore. I'm unwilling to learn something.
Still can't believe they gave him one. Well, no. I'll add here parenthetical.
I learned stuff. I learned academic stuff.
The idea is antithetical. Yeah.
Wow, they're doctors now.
The school must have been more, so he obtained it by force. He could barely perform even one science course. He's still a loud mouth to me, but now it seems he thinks
he's an electric boy.
He's great.
Brilliant.
John Fitzpatrick, this is great. He's bigger than Palau.
Thinks he's an electric boy.
They got the Rumble Ponies. The Palau Rumble Ponies.
Thinks he's an electric boy. You'll be working for the Cornell Kids.
Funny.
The songs that excerpt your work are the ones that are always my favorite. Just cutting clips of you.
Just so good. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday with a new book out, and to Turner's David Aldridge, David Aldridge.
Yes, he is.
For coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank the sponsors SeatGeek and Omaha Steaks and Indochino and Harry's Razors. We were wall to wall today. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And now we clap
thanks
for all
to
the people
peeps
that are here.
Came to listen to us curse
thank
off the
all
air.
Thank
yes.
Thank you.
Here we go. From Michael Birdie in Heidelberg, Germany. Heard the song. Heard the sign got lost in Baltimore. Are you sure they did not move it to Indianapolis overnight? It's a cold
so wait,
reference.
has the sign been found then? Given the construction, it seems to be a crowd gathering.
There seems to be a collection of people out.
Are those the
signs?
We want to get the new signs. We want to be chatter enough already.
That guy has a Syracuse hat on.
There's like a prayer circle out by the sign.
From Kevin Burns in Peoria, Illinois, I've been afforded the great opportunity to throw out the first pitch at the local minor league baseball game. Do I mimic Hideo Nomo with a turnaround windup, Orlando Hernandez
Tornado
with a high leg kick, or Blake Treinen and stand around for 3 minutes until the PR staff pulls me from the mound? That's funny. Also, I know jerseys go untucked, but what is the official show stance on jerseys? Keep them out.
Yeah,
untucked. Not like Wilbon. From Emmett Logan in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Pinehurst, fabulous. Alex Bodlegar. If time allows, I drive rather than fly and always on trips of 6 hours or less. Your podcasts make the time fly. Five podcasts, a coffee, and a fuel stop, and I'm there. Now, since you introduced me to MeUndies, it's even better. They are so soft, it makes the drive super comfortable. Of course, it's 78. I can only wear the plain gray ones. Yeah. That's very funny. Stephen Halter, Steve the Sycophant, dear Satchmo, my Legion idol. After hearing of the trials and tribulations Chris Saliza experienced to hear you two, because his wife really, really wanted to go, I can only say this. If you offered me a chance to go to a concert, which offered Chuck Berry, James Brown, and Otis Redding in their prime, followed by a night and day of unbelievable sex with Cheryl Teagues in her prime, I still would not go through what Chris did. Wait. If my wife really, really wanted to go, then maybe. But wait again, I couldn't have unbelievable sex with Cheryl. So forget the whole thing. Steve the Sycophant. From Jim Power, your recent reminiscing about WFAN brought back a pleasant memory. In the late 80s, I was working at a snooty New England boarding school, the kind of institution Michael would know all too well. I had planned to spend the day interviewing candidates for a physics position, and after asking one candidate who had recently graduated from Georgia Tech if he had any questions for me, I braced myself for the usual onslaught of, will I have to live in a dorm? Yes. And coach a sport? Yes. But this particular candidate caught me by surprise by saying, I have one question. Can I pick up WFAN up here? A physics teacher who loves sports talk. Is it unprofessional of me to say I hired him on the spot? He had me at his first reference to Mike and the Mad Dog. That's I will great. Hang up
I'll
and
tell
listen.
You what, Mike.
From Marie in Arlington, Virginia. Back when the TV show What Not to Wear was a big hit, the host, Stacey London, said, quote, coral is a color no one thinks looks good on them, and it looks good on everyone. And it turns out she's right.
Reference
I
to your coral Johnny
show.
O yesterday.
I missed that show.
I never saw that show.
Oh, yeah. It Clearly was great. It was a guy and Stacey London, and they'd like go into some hobo's house who dressed like, you know,
so this,
terribly, and they'd throw like all their clothes out in front of them, which I liked, and then they'd buy them new clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, you can revive that show. Everything's being revived.
I do.
You could host it.
Can do it.
Well, no, you.
From I mean, White, I am sartorially.
This is from
do
White
what not to
Martin
eat,
Kaiser.
Chubby.
What?
Wyke Martin Kaiser, who I believe is the son of Marty Kaiser, the great editor at Baltimore and at Milwaukee, and he signs at the American University class of 2004. I'm writing to let you know about my Memorial Day weekend David Aldridge moment. Walking down the Rehoboth Beach boardwalk with a woman to whom I'm related by marriage and our two boys, sporting my TK show hat on our way to Funland, I see a man walking briskly in our general direction. I realize it is Gary Williams. As I rack my brain to decide if I should shout out Lachizery, Go Terps, or Eat at Chatter, Gary looks up to see me and my hat. Gary glares back at me with a look that I can only interpret as, not now. In awe, I can only return a dumb smile. After the shock wears off, I turn to the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, and I tell her that was Gary Williams. My wife, who? Me, former coach of Maryland basketball, won the national championship, owns Chatter with Tony Kornheiser, wife. No, no, no. This is our family weekend. We're not talking about that annoying, screaming radio show. Me, well, whatever. It still made my Memorial Day weekend. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them? They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
Oh, my.
All hands on, there's no time for hesitation. Man, we're in for one. Carry on, batten down your hatches, everyone. The past is where the past is. The calm is surely done. We drifted so far in the dead of the night. We're coming hell.
happy as can be. There's a new world, new world to believe. What can be better to follow blindly? And everything is the same in the end. Over and over, will I ever find again? Everything that I ever need helps me get over.